unions, and counting, Love Lost unites communities through technology to make a difference. Let's unite to reunite, because every pet deserves a lifetime of love. Visit lovelost.org and register today.
So my mother is thinking of switching from Verizon to Pure Talk, but she's worried the deal sounds too good to be true. Michael, she said, how can those Pure Talk people offer me the same basic service as Verizon for so much less money? I said, Mom, go ask Google how much Verizon spends on advertising and promotion. A few seconds later, my mother said, oh my goodness, $12 billion a year? That must be a typo. I'll tell you what I told my mom, it's not a typo. Verizon spends $12 billion a year on advertising and promotion, and their customers are paying for it. While Pure Talk doesn't spend that kind of money on commercials, trust me, I would know. Consequently, they can offer you and my mother unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data on a blazing fast 5G network for just $25 a month. Dial #250 and say the words Micro, and you'll get an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250 Micro. Pure Talk. Everything you need and nothing you don't.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A day after signing the U.S. peace plan in Egypt, President Trump back at the White House hosting Argentina's leader for tariff talks. When asked by ABC's Karen Travers how he will get Hamas to disarm, the president issued a warning.
They're going to disarm, and because they said they were going to disarm. And if they don't disarm, we will disarm them.
The president added it will happen quickly and perhaps violently. The IDF today says five Palestinians were killed in Gaza after violating the ceasefire military line, and the Red Cross and IDF announcing they're preparing to receive more deceased hostages located in Gaza today. This afternoon, President Trump will posthumously award conservative activist Charlie Kirk with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. Kirk was fatally shot last month at a college event in Utah. Kirk would have turned 32 today. The government shutdown, now entering a third week. Republicans and Democrats remain deadlocked over restoring health care benefits. This is ABC News. Meta announcing it's making big changes to its Instagram teen accounts, which it rolled out last year with new guardrails built in.
The new moderation settings are modeled after movie ratings. For example, Instagram users under 18 will now only be exposed to the language and images you'd see in a PG-13 movie. Instagram's global director of public policy, Tara Hopkins.
We will never get to a point where no teen will ever see a piece of content that they wouldn't expect to see in a PG-13 movie. But we really are striving for teens to be able to have an experience on Instagram that a parent would understand to be a PG-13 experience.
Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
Word today, Grammy-winning R&B artist D'Angelo has died, his family announcing his death. The singer-songwriter and musician was known for his songs Brown Sugar and Untitled, How Does It Feel? D'Angelo was 51 and battled pancreatic cancer. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Workdays can be unpredictable, but your workwear shouldn't be. With a Cintas Apparel Plus program, you'll have freshly laundered garments for everyone on your team delivered every week. Cintas has workwear for just about any job imaginable, with high-performance fabrics and an uncompromising fit that stretches and moves with you. Don't leave looking and feeling good to chance. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
The Home Depot has everything you need to turn your home into a beacon of holiday cheer. So whether you're going all out or just adding a few holiday touches, we've got you covered with trees, yard decor, and more. Save time decorating with one of our easy-to-assemble pre-lit trees or pick up a piece from our Yuletide Lane decor collection and fill your yard with holiday joy. Whatever your style, find everything to get your holidays started at The Home Depot.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. President of the Wisconsin Senate will be running for her seat again.
12th District Republican Mary Felskowski says she is not going to run for governor or seek any higher office, adding she came to the decision after months of discussions with her husband and prayerful consideration. The Tomahawk native has represented the Northwoods in Madison for more than 10 years and had been seen as a possible Republican candidate for governor, a field that already includes Congressman Tom Tiffany and Washington County Executive Josh Showman. The partisan primary is next August. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Milwaukee police released video of a fatal officer-involved shooting.
The Milwaukee Police Department released the video on Monday. Captured by an off-duty police officer's dash cam, it shows last week's fatal encounter between the 40-year-old officer and 26-year-old Elijah Wilkes. It's the same footage which Wilkes' family viewed on Friday, after which an attorney representing the family said they believed Wilkes' fatal shooting was justified. Wilkes struck the officer with a handgun and pointed it at him following a minor traffic crash between the two. He was killed in the exchange of gunfire that followed. The department press release cautions that viewer discretion is advised. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Electric and natural gas customers who need assistance need to do so before the end of the month. If you have outstanding electric and gas utility bills, the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin is encouraging you to make payment arrangements with your provider or apply for financial assistance before the annual winter heating disconnection moratorium begins on November 1st. Under state law, utilities can't disconnect essential services to residents during the moratorium. If you're currently disconnected, you'll need to make arrangements to restore service before utilities aren't required to reconnect service until payment arrangements are made. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and some scattered showers on your Tuesday afternoon. Highs reaching the mid and upper 50s, an east to northeast breeze. Showers look a little more likely in the overnight. Lows in the mid and upper 40s. Showers continue for the first half of your Wednesday. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Currently 49 degrees.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Good to have you along for the conversation. As always, I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's show powered by Cenex. Protect your equipment, prepare for the unexpected with high-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel. They can help you manage your risk, decrease downtime, giving you peace of mind. Go to Cenex.com today or visit your nearest Cenex store and talk with your local experts for more information. Coming up on our show today, we're going to hear from Dwayne Simpson with the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives here in just a little bit. Amy France, the chairwoman of the National Sorghum Producers, will join us as well in segment three. And then we're going to close the show. We're going to talk about soil health when it comes to winter wheat. Curtis Rainbolt with BASF will join us for a conversation. That's all coming up here as we work throughout today's program. Let's get things started, though, and talk markets. Garrett Toy, Ag Trader Talk, is with us. Garrett, how's that harvest been rolling along in your neck of the woods there in Illinois?
As dry as things are, we are moving at a record pace, I believe. You know, beans are, for the most part, all done. And corn, you know, we're pushing the 50% mark, if not more. It's going pretty quick. It seems like, you know, I don't see a whole lot of lines at the rail terminals or at the processors, so it seems like we're finding a home for it for now. We're all kind of getting it tucked away, and weather's been great. So, you strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, and I know with the lack of information from the government, we're kind of guessing on progress and more. But to your point with how dry it's been and warm, sounds like we're making pretty good time when it comes to harvest season. Let's talk about these markets. Pretty quiet start to the week. I know we had all the fireworks on Friday, of course. But something that I think has maybe been lost in conversation a little bit, the port or the ship fees, the port fees going into effect here today with Chinese, U.S. ships and more. This is just another wrinkle to this whole situation, and wonder how that could potentially affect these markets, Garrett.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's just an escalation of the trade war. I mean, you know, China, it doesn't really impact grains because China's not buying any grains, you know. But, you know, we had the tit-for-tat kind of retaliation on Friday, or I guess it was Thursday, of the, you know, China implementing that on U.S.-born ships. And the problem is there aren't any U.S. there aren't any U.S. ships, so it's really a non sequitur there. But I think the biggest thing is you know, obviously it angered President Trump with the weaponization of the rare earths, that caused the response from President Trump, and then the, you know, both sides spoke over the weekend and kind of calmer heads prevailed on Sunday. But the thing is, the market really hasn't reacted. And I don't think, at least for the bean market, I don't think we will react until we see some sort of response from China. And their side has kind of been radio silent. So, the start of the week was very quiet. Not only government shutdown to begin with, but then you had bank holidays as well with the Columbus Day holiday. So, exceptionally quiet in a quiet market.
yeah. Well, in a time like this, I know a lot of folks are having to fall back on looking at charts and looking at fundamentals and the technical picture in some of these markets. I mean, anything to you that you're watching closely across any of these grains right now when you look at the more the technical picture here, Garrett?
Well, I mean, I'm more of a spread trader. I follow cash and spread. So that to me tells me more about what's happening on the commercial side, farmer movement, that sort of thing. And bean spreads that last week are actually kind of interesting. This market coming into harvest was doing everything in its power to discourage beans from coming to the market. We had wide cash carries, we had cheap basis, we had wide board spread carries, and then spreads started to move a little bit last week, you know, narrowing. And then I think what that did was pipeline got a little thin. We do need beans to move, and with the spreads narrowing and basis appreciation, I mean, I think that caught the market's attention that a lot of these markets, you know, were, you know, just for example, locally, we're 30, 40 cents off of the harvest lows on soybean basis. Part of that's harvested, you know, in the last half, and when we get past that 50% mark, we tend to look for a market bottom, if you will. But the market needed beans to move, and it's trying to do so. It didn't take much, you know. It firmed up, and it quickly corrected, and it seemingly coincided with bean flat price being around 10.30, which was that technical resistance. Here we are back to $10, and we're the lower end of the range. If we do go sub $10, it doesn't seem like we want to spend much time there. But you're right, you know, with the USDA report, with the government being close, not just the USDA, but we don't have a commitment to traders. We don't know what the markets, you know, the market positions are. So, you know, I don't think you're getting a lot of trading. You know, historical, you know, you look at the last shutdown in October, you know, volatility really kind of collapses. Traders head for the sidelines. So I don't necessarily think that anyone's going to assume big risk without knowing what's really going on in the market as far as the internal structure. So that lends the more quiet trade, if you will.
Oh, that's a great, great point. Should ask you on the livestock side here, we've got about a minute and a half to close out this segment. Anything you are watching over the protein sector this week, Garrett?
I mean, this feeder market is just on an absolute tear. This is just on the shortage of overall cattle. The overall narrative that we've talked about for 2 years. There's just lack of cattle and cow calf producers. The other interesting thing, and I don't want to shift away from cattle too quickly. But, you know, this hog market has been in a deep correction, and we just kind of broke through, gapped lower here today in these hogs below this 100-day moving average of 84.77. So, you know, we're getting down to our lowest level since early August. That's something to keep an eye on. But back to the cattle. Sorry, I don't mean to be all over the place on you. But you know, ultimately, I think, you know, fat cattle are kind of struggling here a little bit. That's a function of beef in trying to move some product that we bought here in the last 4 to 6 weeks, slowing demand from the consumers, summer grilling season coming to a close, that sort of thing. But the feeder market is telling you that, you know, we've had conversations about retention of heifers and that sort of thing. Feeder market's telling you that that's, if it's happening, it's not enough, and the feeder market's taking off. I think that's a combination of, you know, you got grass calves coming off of the pasture here. It's that time of year. You've got cheap corn. You've got pretty strong demand for feeders.
And compared to the grain markets that are quieter, more dynamics happening right now in the cattle and the hog complex. Things to keep an eye on there. Folks can go to agtradertalk.com for more. Garrett Toy, always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. Have a great week.
Thank you, too.
Garrett Toy with Ag Trader Talk joining us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Protect your operation with Cenex Premium Lubricants. Go to Cenex.com for more. Up next, Dwayne Simpson, President and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, will join us right here on AOA.
Enough already.
We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better. For our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
Childhood cancer is the leading cause of death by disease for children in our country. We can do something about that. We can come together to support the best research for safer, more effective treatments and cures for our kids. We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org to join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
I'm a farmer, I'm a wife, and a mom, and I carry a lot. Some days the weight of it all feels heavier than that full feed truck sitting in the yard. I used to think I had to tough it out all alone, but I've actually learned asking for help doesn't make me weak. It actually makes me stronger. So if you're struggling, talk to someone, a friend, a counselor, absolutely anybody. You don't have to go through it alone. This message is being brought to you by all of us at Farm and Ranch Media, because your mental health matters too.
From raging storms and relentless winds to unforgiving heat, Proven G3 from Pivot Bio just keeps working. Featuring the only gene-edited microbe continuously fixing nitrogen in the presence of synthetic nitrogen, Proven G3's three modes of action feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential day in and day out. Learn more about Proven G3's durable nitrogen delivery at pivotbio.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to
to Jesse Allen.
And a reminder, don't let tough conditions slow you down. Cenex Premium Grease provides equipment with superior strength to keep going. Visit your local experts at your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more. Joining us now on AOA, the president and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, Dwayne Simpson. Dwayne, welcome back to the show. Hope all is well, sir.
Thanks, Jesse. It's a pleasure to be here.
I know you've been busy doing some traveling across rural America and more, and I want to talk about that in a minute. Just real quick, everything going on in D.C., government shutdown, obviously the broader impacts on agriculture. There's been talk of farmer bailout money and all these different things. What's the latest in terms of the shutdown? Anything you've heard there on Capitol Hill to report, or is it still we're waiting to break the impasse, Dwayne?
Yeah, Jesse, I wish I had better news to tell you, but the reality is we're not seeing any evidence that the two sides are thawing, that they're pretty well dug in. And candidly, like you said, there's a huge impact to agriculture as a result of that. You know, it's harvest season, so farmers probably aren't seeing it immediately, which is a good news. But if you're growing a crop that depends on a marketing assistance loan, you can't get it. If, you know, FSA offices can't commit any new resources going forward. And if you're in the grain trade market, you're flying blind because you don't have USDA data out there on what's actually happening with the harvest as it comes in. And so, you know, it's a little bit of things. The bigger question is the farm aid. And, you know, as the secretary said, they can't do any of the farm aid until the government opens back up. And so you got to break the impasse before we can even consider having farm aid get to farmers.
Now, it's something, of course, we're going to just keep watching and see what happens on Capitol Hill before we get some of those key moves that you mentioned. Well, and tied with this, I know that NCFC sent a letter to the White House here last week. And let's talk about this letter a little bit, kind of highlighting a lot of key points that I know you and many others in agriculture are all kind of talking about together in various ways. But looking at your letter from NCFC, what are some of these key points that you're trying to stress to the president and the Trump administration right now?
Well, I think the big key to what we pointed out is that, yes, we agree that you need to find a way to bridge aid to farmers, but there are things within the administration's control that they can do right now to either bring down costs or to help open up markets to help farmers out, and both immediate relief and long-term. So just a couple of them. There's opportunity to further expand access for ag labor. The H-2A visa program, the law allows you to use those visa programs up to 12 months, but by reg, we're hold those to 10 months. We can expand that out to, say, 11 and a half months, and that would basically give operations like dairies and feedlots and the like the opportunity to get near year-round labor from the H-2A program, which could help bring the cost down. You look at fertilizer, chemicals, you know, ag inputs has been a huge story as to what's happening in the row crop space. We have temporary tariffs in place on both fertilizers and some of the active ingredients and their precursors that are coming into the country. We could suspend those. That would immediately have relief for farmers. You know, we've heard the corn growers talk about this a lot, but the opportunities with E15, now this would probably take an act of Congress, but we do believe that if you're going to get Congress moving, getting to year-round E15 almost immediately could absorb almost 20 million acres worth of corn. And you know, that's creating demand on the, you know, in a market that frankly is saturated right now. You know, there's infrastructure opportunities to continue to invest in cooperative-owned storage, transportation, rail, ports, those types of things. And of course, the administration is doing some good stuff on trade. They just announced improvements to the Export Credit Guarantee Program and increased funding for trade promotion programs. But we need the government open so that we can use those. And of course, everybody is concerned about what we saw Friday with China and the rare earth minerals and then the U.S. response with 100% tariffs. And, you know, over the weekend, that kind of wobbled back and forth. But what we can't have happen is closing off the opportunity to have the you know, President Xi and President Trump meeting face to face, because soybeans is supposed to be at the top of that agenda, and we need that meeting to happen here later this month.
Yeah, absolutely. Good, all good points there. Dwayne Simpson, President, CEO, National Council Farmer Cooperatives, with us here on AOA. And to all of those points, I know you've been doing some traveling here during harvest season. You've been talking with producers, getting some of those real world stories on how the current situation with the ag economy more is impacting folks at the farm level. I mean, talk about what you're hearing directly from producers. I have to think that many of the things they are saying ties in with those key points you just talked about.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the beef market, and you know, your previous guest kind of shared on that one, outside of the beef market, it is a really tough time to be in agriculture. And you know, in some of the places in the Mid-South, we're looking at, you know, potential bankruptcies from farms that get into the double digits percentage wise. You're seeing all across all of agriculture in the row crop space, whether it's soybeans or corn or cotton or rice, that you're really in a place where the markets, you know, the prices are low, commodity or input prices are up, land prices have kept their strength. In fact, your cash rents are up. And when you add those all together, you know, only about 5% of farmers are expected to turn a profit this year. You know, if you look at, it's something like only 10% of farms this year are able to survive without off-farm labor. And this is a long-term trend on that one, but that's getting worse as we go on. And so when you look at the health of the ag economy, that's what I'm hearing, is that, you know, farmers aren't sure that they can make it to next year. The One Big Beautiful Bill put a lot of money into agriculture, but they're not sure they can make it there. And they're really asking for help at this point.
Well, and, you know, I think about this, there's so many areas here that need attention, to your point. You know, the input cost conversation is a big one. The talk of E15, something that we wish we would have had that done already. But, you know, the ag labor piece is something that I feel like it's being talked about, but it's not being talked about enough right now by the broader ag coalition. Because there's so many things going on, I think our attention's getting divided a little bit. But Dwayne, the conversation around ag labor is something that's been going on for several years now, and it's kind of been amped up with everything else going on surrounding immigration. But I know that is a big issue for many growers in many states, Dwayne.
Yeah, Jesse, this has been this is a multi-year issue, multi-decade issue. And, you know, Congress has told us for years that, hey, once we secure the border, we can talk about this issue. We know it needs to be solved. Well, the border's secure, and it is time to do something about it. The Department of Labor recognized in their latest adverse wage rule that because of the enforcement and the ability to shut down the border, that we've seen adverse impacts on agriculture and a spike in the cost of labor. And so they have actually proposed an emergency rule that, you know, will immediately have almost a $2.5 billion impact positively for farms, you know, reducing costs. And a lot of that cost reduction is in the bureaucratic side of getting access to the labor. It's not necessarily, you know, reductions in wages, although some of it is just getting wages back into line with what fits around the local economy. So yes, there are opportunities to continue to do more. Yes, the administration is actually taking this seriously and recognizing the impact that they're having, and they're trying to make it better. But one of the things that I also think happened this fall during harvest is that as the administration talked about doing less enforcement on the farm and focusing their enforcement in other places, I think you actually saw some of those, some of those farms had a little more labor availability coming from other sectors because people just wanted to stay, you know, out of the crosshairs. You know, I think that's temporary. I don't think that lasts. We're still hearing that there's enforcement going on. So I don't think that that's a permanent thing, but I do think that maybe there was a slight reprieve this fall, and that kind of helped bring the temperature down. And the other piece, of course, is that the other parts of the ag economy have come into crisis. And so, you know, yeah. the focus has had to necessarily change as row crop farmers are feeling the pinch, that you can't spend as much energy and effort on getting the ag labor piece done because there's only so many things you can do. And lastly, it's going to take Congress, and Congress right now can't open the government. We don't expect that they're going to be able to do more.
No, that's a great point to end on. There's so many moving parts. We all just got to do our best to work together and make our voices heard on these issues. Dwayne Simpson, President, CEO, National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. Always good to talk with you, sir. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it.
AOA brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Up next, Amy Frantz, the chairwoman of the National Sorghum Producers, right here on AOA. Your Soy Checkoff focuses on building demand for U.S. soy and profit opportunities for farmers. Over the next couple of months, tune in on Thursday mornings for the Soy Market Update Series. We'll visit with farmer leaders and industry experts to discuss checkoff investments driving demand and improving resilience across the market segments of food, feed, fuel, industrial uses, exports, and sustainable production. To learn more, visit unitedsoybean.org. Your equipment is an investment. Protect it with Cenex. Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Premium Diesel Fuel is designed with advanced detergents to keep injectors clean and engines running efficiently. Cenex Premium Lubricants are triple tested for quality and proven to extend the life of your tractors, combines, and other heavy-duty equipment. From the first seed in the ground to the last load off the field, Cenex helps you go the distance. Learn more at Cenex.com.
Shutdown and
farmers thinking about doing cover crops. Christina Olson is pleased to announce Cover Crop and Forage Planting Services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and triticale. Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk up 32 to 1641, December up 30 to 1661, January up 16 to 1636, February up 4 at 1646. Live and feeder cattle markets were mostly higher on the day. Now, lower feed costs, also strength in equities, and incredible demand is helping to support both live and feeder cattle markets. Box beef prices also higher on the day. Hog markets, however, they were higher in the nearby month due to the higher pork cutout values, but the traders need more than just a midday report's worth of higher prices before moving deferred contracts higher. October live cattle up $1.25 to $241.82. October feeder cattle up $4.67 to $3.8017. October hogs up 5 cents to $97.47. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets slightly higher on the day. Some short covering in the market helping to support some of the prices. Soybeans mostly lower. Again, good weather for planting in South America. Also, the continued trade concerns with China and harvest pressure all helping to pressure bean markets. Wheat markets higher mostly on short covering and higher Matif wheat prices. December corn up 2.25 to 4.13. November beans down 1.25 to 10.06.5. December wheat up 3.5.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA.
Now back to Jesse Allen.
Extreme dirty conditions aren't new to farmers and ranchers. Combat dirt and downtime with Cenex premium diesel fuel and premium greases and lubricants. Protect your equipment and achieve better performance. Visit your nearest Cenex store location, or you can go online, cenex.com, for more information. Well, as we continue here on today's Agriculture of America, joining us now for conversation, always good to talk with the chairwoman of the National Sorghum Producers, Amy France from Kansas. Amy, how are you? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jesse, I'm good. Thanks so much for having us.
I know you were busy in D.C. last week, and I want to get to that. But just real quick, harvest season in western Kansas. How are things on your farm? What are your neighbors doing? How are things rolling along here as we're getting to the midway point of October?
Well, Jesse, we can't wait to harvest. On my farm, we didn't have any wet corn, so we are still waiting to get in the field just to start corn harvest. Normally, we wrap things up completely, corn and sorghum, around Halloween, you know, early November. I just hope we are done with corn by then. So very interesting. We are grateful for the moisture. Our wheat's going to be great. We have beautiful crops, the best we've seen in 2 to 3 years. So we are very eager, and probably an even stronger word than eager, like anxious to get into the field to start harvesting.
Well, hopefully it is a safe and happy harvest as you get rolling there on your operation. So let's talk about what's going on in D.C. And we brought it up a bit with Dwayne Simpson from National Council of Farmer Cooperatives in the last segment. Everything with the government shutdown and just what is happening or what is not happening there. And the broader impacts on agriculture that are being talked about. And I know you had a lot of meetings with lawmakers last week. What are you hearing from them on Capitol Hill regarding just everything going on surrounding the ag economy, the situation in sorghum, et cetera? I mean, talk about your meetings last week and what you heard.
Well, Jesse, you know, you never know what you're going to get with a government shutdown, but we were very surprised, pleasantly surprised with the meetings we were able to get and the headway we were able to make. So had over a dozen meetings with lawmakers and others. We took producers from South Dakota to South Texas to really give a broad overview of what the sorghum belt looks like right now. And it was evident they are still very much aware and working on our behalf. Grateful for that. It is difficult during this time, but you know, one thing about it, shutdown or otherwise, farmers don't stop farming. And so National Sorghum just really felt like it was an important time to be up there, reminding them what our top priorities are. And I think our message was heard very loud and clear, and eager to continue working with our lawmakers and see what comes next. It is a bit slow, but there is a lot of work being done behind the scenes. So we were anxious and, as I said, very, very positive coming away from our week in D.C.
Well, and I know last time you were on the show with me, we talked about a lot of the struggles for sorghum specifically, and not only making sure that sorghum producers can farm next year, but for many years down the road. I mean, when you look commodity to commodity to commodity, there's a lot of angst, a lot of pain out there right now, but certain commodities like sorghum are in a tougher position than others, right, Amy?
Oh, absolutely. You take China away from sorghum and you've taken our number one export market. So we're trying to spread that message loud and clear. We absolutely know we need some negotiations to be done. We need trade to be moving forward. We need additional markets. But yes, China, you know, with the loss of China, 97% of our exports down. So not just a little bit, not just part of our crop, a huge, very significant amount of our sorghum export goes to China. So making sure that message is heard as well, and then saying, hey, all right, if you want to take that away, what are we going to do with these other markets? So we continue to talk about, of course, India, Mexico, Vietnam, and just saying, hey, we have been working, you know, over 15 years on additional markets. Let us help you help us. And so that, as you said, Jesse, we're talking about the longevity of the farmers, but we're talking about ensuring that sorghum has a name and the infrastructure and the industry for years to come. I know sorghum is one of those crops that's water sipping, which is very important, and also takes less inputs. And in a tough time for farmers, when we're looking at balance sheets, that's very important. So making sure we have sorghum in a healthy position is extremely important and something we've been delivering as well.
We're having a conversation with Amy France, chair of the National Sorghum Producers. And, you know, as everything rolls along with the shutdown and more, and we sit back and wait to see, and we've heard the talk of, you know, we're not going to see any sort of aid and things of that nature until the shutdown is over. I know the longer that these things go on and the longer that we don't have some sort of movement here, you know, the clock is ticking for many producers, Amy, right?
It is. It absolutely is. And, you know, to take that one step further, what will be the like unintended consequences of this shutdown? So we've been signed on to the letters to encourage Congress to come together and get some things done. We're looking for, you know, when you go out to a field, it doesn't matter which side of the island, it needs cut. And, you know, we need markets for that. So we're encouraging our lawmakers to come together and get things moving. But yes, you're right, Jesse, the longer it takes for that to open, the longer it takes to get dollars, you know, just regular things coming from our FSA offices. And we work with those guys on a daily basis. And so it's been difficult for our producers. You know, it could be signing up for the next program, or it could be changing some ownership. It just comes down to simple day-to-day things that we need our offices open.
You know, I wonder about this, too, as we make our voices heard to our elected officials and to the administration. I guess I'll fall back on this thought, and you can go with me here if you want, but strength in numbers and having our voices heard, you know, you think about what can we do, and is the administration hearing us? Is Secretary Rollins hearing farmers and this and that? And, you know, I understand, you know, there's pushback from folks who maybe don't quite understand that, you know, they hear, you know, farmer bridge payments and things, and they're upset about that. There may be, you know, but they don't understand that, you know, if we lose farmers, we lose food, things like that. So, you know, there's so many pieces here, and there's so much noise around this, but I guess where I'm going with this is making noise as farmers and working with your farm organizations and things of that nature is super important, because it's really the only way to make our voices heard right now. Right, Amy?
It's true. It's true. And, you know, the more we hear from our members, then that's what we take to the Hill with us. You know, knowing that renewal season is just around the corner for many of our producers. We've got, you know, equipment payments. We've got input costs. And talking to our members, hearing their story, we carry that story with us to the Hill. And it makes us that much more impactful to tell the stories of our members and make their voices heard as well. So it's a great honor to be able to do that. And as you said, Jesse, I would encourage everyone to get involved in their local farm organizations. There is power in numbers, and now is the time to do something about it.
Well, as we get ready to close out this segment, we've got a couple minutes. I'll turn it back a little more positive, too, here. I know in terms of the National Sorghum Producers, you guys have a lot of resources available for growers that they can, you know, reach out if they have questions. I know the state organizations work with you as well. A lot of resources there. I mean, folks, if they have questions, they just need to reach out or go online, sorghumgrowers.com. I know you guys have a lot of info and help available, right?
We do. And Jesse, you know, you mentioned state organizations. I'm excited that you're going to have Adam York from Kansas Sorghum on later this week to really highlight what sorghum has done. We did export sorghum in San Antonio a few weeks ago to bring in international buyers from all over. And that's just one example of what we're doing to continue this momentum. And so, you know, excited about that and you hearing that. There's a lot of great things happening, state organizations on up to national, and really proud of the work that we do as a team. And as well as our checkoff, we couldn't do a lot of these things without our checkoff dollars. And so appreciate the members that contribute to that and the work that's done on that behalf as well.
Absolutely. And I will mention, too, I always like to bring this up every now and then. The yield contest for 2025, that is open right now. And I believe entries November 26th is what I'm seeing in the contest rules. So that deadline's coming up to get those entries submitted. Right, Amy?
It is, yeah, in a perfect time. As I said, we have one of the best crops we've seen in years. I'm expecting a 23% increase in those yields. So, yeah, perfect year to sign up and enter in that yield contest. And, yeah, lots of questions on that. Usually there's been some changes. So be sure to go to sorghumgrowers.com to figure out how you can do that and what those changes have been.
Absolutely. Again, that website, sorghumgrowers.com, for more information. With that, we are up against the clock. We'll let you go and wish you again a safe harvest season as you get rolling there in western Kansas. And we'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Probably see you at the NAFB convention. Might be the next time I see you here in a couple of weeks, Amy.
Yes. Look forward to it, Jesse. Always appreciate your willingness to host us and help us spread the sorghum message.
Absolutely. Amy France, Chair of the National Sorghum Producers. Amy, thanks for being on with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse.
AOA brought to you by Cenex. Mitigate risk on the farm with premium diesel from Cenex. Go to your nearest store, talk with your local experts, or go to Cenex.com for more. Up next, we'll talk winter wheat soil health with Curtis Rainbolt from BASF right here on AOA.
Think back.
Hey, listen, are you a 50-year-old person looking for term life insurance? Then you need to talk to Bob. Bob specializes in helping people find $1 million or more of term life insurance for a couple of $100 a month. Look, you need to know there's a price war in the term life insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call Bob, and he'll shop and see how much money he can save you. Look, this could be the last term life insurance policy you ever have. Your rates are guaranteed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. And if you're a smoker or your health is not perfect, Bob has great rates for you, too. So for $1 million of term life insurance coverage for a couple of $100 a month, call Bob right now. 800-890-5075. 800-890-5075. 800-890-5075. That's 800-890-5075. Paid for by Term Direct.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-921-5252. That's 800-921-5252. 800-921-5252.
Just a reminder, if you're feeling low, you're not alone. Life can get tough and we all need a hand sometimes. Don't be afraid to talk to someone, even if it's just to get things off your chest. You have to take care of yourself so you can take care of business. Remember, there's no shame in asking for help. You've got people who care about you. Reach out if you need to and check in on those you care about too. We're all in this together. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
When your business runs on wheels, downtime costs money. Cenex Roadmaster XL premium diesel fuel delivers maximum power, cleaner engines, and better fuel efficiency for every mile. Cenex premium lubricants are engineered to meet or exceed OEM specifications, protecting engines and transmissions under the toughest loads. From long hauls to local routes, Cenex keeps your fleet on schedule and on the road. Fewer breakdowns, less downtime, greater efficiency. That's the Cenex advantage. Find your local distributor at Cenex.com.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission, license number DC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
I just like to say thank you to everybody.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days. When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Cenex Premium Diesel provides today's high-tech engines with the power and precision it needs to get the job done. Visit Cenex.com or go to your nearest Cenex location for more information. Well, let's talk about managing and navigating your soil health when it comes to winter wheat. Joining us now, BASF's Curtis Rainbolt. Curtis, good to have you back with us here on the program. Hope all is well.
It is, Jesse. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, let's just start. I know winter wheat, of course, got a unique seasonality to it. A lot of winter wheat growers have been planting as we start to think about the overall growing season. What have been some things you've noticed here with the start to winter wheat here for 2025, 2026, essentially?
Yeah, when you think about it, you know, winter wheat is just an incredibly diverse crop. It's grown from Texas up to the Canadian border, from coast to coast. When you think about that, you've got a huge range of, you know, rainfall zones. Some of it is irrigated. Some of it's used more for grazing in some parts of the country. Some, you know, for certain types of grain quality. So really a diverse crop in the way it's grown and produced. But even as diverse as it is, you know, I think there's a few things you can consider looking at across them and things you can do to improve your yield and your end goals. So you're right. We're kind of through planting in a lot of situations. So now that planting's probably wrapped up for most winter wheat growers, you know, one of the things I would want to do is go out early season and look at that stand emergence, because, you know, starting off with a strong stand is the best way to start off a strong crop.
Well, thinking about pest management and more, maybe thinking about underground pests that you wouldn't really know are there, obviously, latching on to roots and more during the winter months. What are some things that growers need to think about when it comes to pest management with winter wheat?
From a pest management standpoint, at this time of the year, yeah, I would really focus on how your crop emerged. And so if you're out there, you know, and you are seeing plants that are not healthy, you want to look at those, look down at the roots and see, you may have, you know, lesions that are specific to a certain type of disease. The plant may be just kind of stressed on top, but down below you may see some rhizoctonia or fusarium issues. If you have plants that emerged but then went down, it could be something like Pythium. So, you know, this would be a good time to evaluate your stand and then look at it and think, if you are using a seed treatment, maybe you need to make some adjustments in what particular disease issues you might have out there. And then insect pressure as well. We don't always think about wireworms being a major issue in winter wheat, but if you're in a rotation that has a lot of grass crops in it, there is a good likelihood you do have some wireworms out there, and they may cause some feeding damage this time of year, depending on soil temperatures and soil moisture, but they can also kind of rear back up in the spring and cause some feeding damage. So it's kind of a good time to assess your seed treatment program.
We're having a conversation with Curtis Rainbolt from BASF. What are some other management things we need to think about with winter wheat here as we get into the growing season and the overwinter months and more? What are some other things that need to be top of mind for producers?
Another really important thing to pay attention to is weed control, because once you get behind it, it can be hard to catch up. So if you have a wheat crop that's up and healthy, those are probably also conditions for some of the weeds to emerge. So if you didn't use a residual herbicide at the time of planting, you know, you could still, there are still options like Zidua SC that you could use after the weed has already emerged. Now, you maybe think, well, I just come back in the spring and spray the weeds that are up. That's no problem. But in a lot of areas, there's a real benefit to a residual product because, one, you can prevent some of those winter annuals from ever coming up. And if they do start to come up in the spring, they come up tend to be a little bit weaker and a little bit later. And so if you're trying to get across a lot of acres in the spring, maybe conditions aren't always right for spraying in the spring. Using that residual product in the fall can help you better time management, have better weed control into the spring.
And I think about this as well as you get into the spring and think about next year. For some growers, they'll plant winter wheat and then they'll turn around on that field and maybe plant another crop. So I know there's some unique things that we can look at here as we go through the winter wheat growing season with soil conditions and management and more to help us as we get into planting that next crop in 26, whatever that may be. I know it's different for everyone, Curtis, but there's some things we can take away during the winter wheat season that can help us next year, right?
Right. Everything you do to keep that cleaner, keep that crop moving along is going to help you if you're in that situation where you're double cropping. Another thing I like to look for in the fall as well is if we're having relatively warm conditions, which we are in the part of the Pacific Northwest I'm located in, and you have some moisture, you may see some fall rust develop. And it's typically not to a level necessarily where you need to treat, but you do need to be aware of those spots in those areas because depending on what happens in the wintertime with cold temperatures and how things progress, those will be the most likely spots where maybe you would see some rust show up in the spring.
Well, great thoughts. Curtis, anything final you would mention about soil health and winter wheat management here as we go through the winter wheat growing season?
Just, you know, this is a great time to get out and look at the crop and see how it's progressing. I know growers are probably tired because they've been through harvest and, you know, that now they're getting through the planting season. But take a little bit of time to look out there and address problems as early as you can. And BASF, you know, we're committed to agriculture and helping farmers do what we consider is the most important job on earth. And we typically have some products to help solve some of those solutions.
Well, we appreciate the time and the conversation with that. Curtis Rainbolt with BASF, thanks so much for joining us here on the program today. And until next time, have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Once again, Curtis Rainbolt with BASF joining us here today on AOA. The show brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm and ranch. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. So protect that equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Greases and Lubricants to keep you in the field. Keep your operation moving with Cenex. Go to Cenex.com for more information. Coming up tomorrow on the show, we'll hear from Tate Bennett with the America First Policy Institute. Elizabeth Burns Thompson with the Modern Ag Alliance will join us as well. And we'll talk with Joe Maxwell from Farm Action about the latest surrounding soybean trade and more. That's all coming up tomorrow on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
Long time no see, buddy. How's it going? When did you get back?
Hey, good to see you. I've been home for almost a year, just trying to adjust and get back into the swing of things.
Well, it looks like you've been busy. I always see those pics you post of you and your family at all those events. What gives?
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country. 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN. Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM. Translator W.